from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome to the English service of Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia. With me, Rahma, on the mic, presenting various latest updates, programs, music, taking you closer to Indonesia, only on the English service of Voice of Indonesia that you can enjoy on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. And special on this day, our songs are all about Indonesian religious songs and also the original soundtrack of Indonesian films, celebrating the National Film Day on March 30. But first, as always, we begin with the news. Here is the news first, the headline. Analyst encourages Indonesia to start export diversification. Indonesia sends international humanitarian mission to Myanmar. Passenger traffic at Soekarno-Hatta Airport surges during Eid al-Fitr holiday. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. United States President Donald Trump decides to lay out the U.S. reciprocal tariff rates. Analyst encourages Indonesia to start export diversification. Andi Romdoni has the detail.
Analyst of Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, INDEF, Fadil Hasan, Thursday encouraged the Indonesian government to start export diversification to deal with President Trump's decision to lay out the U.S. reciprocal tariff rates. The decision was announced on Wednesday and aimed at 180 countries and territories, including Indonesia. In an interview with RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, Fadil Hasan said that in addition to diversifying export, Indonesian government should also engage with the U.S. government through bilateral dialogue to find a fair solution towards such trade policy.
Diversifying our export destination, not only to U.S., for example, which is U.S. based. By the way, the share of the U.S. In terms of the total Indonesian export is only 10.5%. Yeah, so it's not very big, but still important. Yeah, because we are having surplus with the U.S. Yeah? So this diversifying export to other countries is one of the solution, not only with BRICS countries, but also with other non-traditional countries. I think we have to use also diplomatic relation, with US, convincing that we are ready, for example, to have a dialogue with them, you know, and then to have a bilateral dialogue with the US, you know, to find the solution to this problem. Also, we can have the targeted retaliation, but not overall retaliation, but targeted retaliation for the some of the imported product from the U.S.
In addition to that, Fadil Hasan reminds the Indonesian government to take measured steps in responding to Trump's trade policy. According to him, the government must take into account the impact of the policy before announcing official steps regarding that policy.
Head of the National Search and Rescue Agency, or Basarnas, Muhammad Shafi'i, in his statement on Thursday, announced the agency had dispatched a total of 77 personnel to assist the victims of the earthquake in Myanmar. Shafi'i also conveyed the rescue agency was accompanying the coordinating minister for human development and culture, representing the Indonesian government, to deliver the humanitarian assistance.
Saya informasikan bahwa Badan SAR Nasional atau Badan Nasional Pencarian.
I inform you that the National Search and Rescue Agency in the context of humanitarian missions has dispatched the SAR potential of the National Search and Rescue Agency, as many as 61 people who have the ability and potential, total 77 personnel. Please pray the dispatch team will always be protected and able to carry out their duties to help the humanitarian mission in Myanmar.
Muhammad Shafi'i stated this humanitarian assistance is part of Indonesia's concern for global disasters, as well as a demonstration of the country's active role in assisting international communities affected by calamities. Previously, Indonesia's Foreign Minister Sugiono mentioned the aid for Myanmar consisted of shelters, medical supplies, and medicine, with the total aid amounting to about 124 tons of goods, valued at around $1.2 million. Indonesia's Zakat Agency sent 19.7 tons of aid, or equivalent to 2.5 billion rupiah, for survivors of the Myanmar earthquake disaster. The aid consists of 100 generator units, 50 tents, 10,000 sarongs, 1,000 hygiene kit packages for children and women, 5,000 blankets, 50 tarpaulin units, and various types of medicine. Head of the National Zakat Agency, Saidah Sakwan, told the media in Jakarta on Thursday, in addition to being a form of concern from the Indonesian people, the assistance was an effort to accelerate the recovery of Myanmar people.
So, hopefully, this assistance will be part of our efforts to accelerate the recovery of survivors in Myanmar.
Meanwhile, on the same occasion, the chairman of the National Zakat Agency said, in addition to logistical assistance, the National Zakat Agency also sends a delegation of 15 people, consisting of the agency disaster response and the health team. We continue with the government of Indonesia through the Ministry of Health has dispatched an emergency medical team consisting of 35 medical personnel to assist in the disaster response following the earthquake in Myanmar. This was conveyed by Indonesian Minister of Health Budi Gunadi Sadikin during the send-off ceremony for the emergency team in Jakarta on Thursday.
Today, 35 members of the emergency medical team are departing for Myanmar. They are bringing medicines and health aid worth 5.5 billion rupiah.
Budi further explained the emergency medical team will be stationed in Myanmar for 1 month and expected to provide medical assistance to earthquake victims, including both Indonesian nationals and affected local communities in Myanmar. The aid mission is coordinated by the National Disaster Management Agency and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in collaboration with various agencies. Passenger traffic at Soekarno-Hatta Airport, Indonesia, surges during Eid al-Fitr holiday. Almost 1.5 million passengers were recorded traveling through Soekarno-Hatta International Airport during this year's Eid holiday. Ofra has the detail.
More than 1.4 million passengers were recorded traveling through Soekarno-Hatta International Airport, Tangerang, Banten during this year's Eid holiday. This was conveyed by Soekarno-Hatta Airport's Assistant Deputy for Communication and Legal Affairs, M. Holik Muwardi, in a statement on Thursday. He explained that this figure represents a 7.9% increase from the previous year and is expected to continue rising until the peak of the post-holiday return flow.
The total number of passengers served during Eid flight from 10 days before Eid until today is approximately 1.4 million. Meanwhile, the total number of flight movements recorded is around 9,767. This means the final tally will likely surpass the last year's figures.
He further stated that the average daily passenger movement at terminals 1, 2, and 3 has increased with the commencement of the return travel period. Soekarno-Hatta Airport Management predicts that the peak of the return flow will occur between April 6 and 7, 2025, with passengers' number expected to reach 180,000.
Idul Fitri return flow starts to be seen at Jakarta's main station, including Gambir train station. Rama has the detail.
A deputy at Indonesia's Coordinating Ministry for Political and Security Affairs, Muhammad Koba, said that the 2025 Idul Fitri return flow has started to be seen at Gambir Station, one of the main railway stations in Jakarta. As quoted from the Coordinating Ministry's statement on Friday, April 4th, he appreciated the state-owned railway company Kereta Api Indonesia, or KAI, and the Indonesian Ministry of Transportation for working well. At Gambir Station, the return flow has started to be seen, but KAI and the Ministry of Transportation are top. Public facilities are ready, as well as railway facilities and security is maintained. So thank God, everything is smooth. Besides the readiness of all related to railways technical things, we also see supporting facilities, public facilities, disabled toilets, and so on. All are clean, neat, and functioning properly. In addition to checking the readiness of the railways ahead of the return flow, Koba also checked three spots. Places he monitored included Kota Tua, one of the popular tourist destinations in Jakarta. He advised the people returning from their hometowns to pay attention to the departure schedule according to the tickets booked, store valuables properly, and use compact and safe bags.
Indonesian government is preparing for the second stage of regional health retreat. Deputy Minister of Home Affairs Bima Arya, when met by reporters in Solo, Central Java on Thursday, said 49 regional heads had not attended the retreat. Of that number, some will attend the retreat in the second wave.
There are 49 regional heads who have not attended the retreat in total. Some will attend the second wave, namely those friends in Bali who didn't have time to attend yesterday. Then there are also those whose lawsuits were rejected at the Constitutional Court. So there are approximately 25 regional heads who might attend the second wave.
Bima Arya explained the government has prepared a budget for the second wave of retreat with a simplified concept.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today it's on impact of U.S. import tariffs on Indonesia. U.S. President Donald Trump announced new import tariffs on April the 2nd, including a 32% import duty on Indonesian products. This decision immediately sparked concerns among Indonesian business people and the government, because it threatens export competitiveness, especially in the manufacturing, textile, and processed food sectors. The decline in exports could have an impact on domestic industry and employment. Chairperson of the Indonesian Employers Association, APINDO, Sinta Kamdani, emphasized on April the 3rd that this policy creates uncertainty and could shake the stability of global trade. However, this challenge could also be an opportunity. APINDO suggested that the government accelerate bilateral negotiation with the U.S. to protect market access. In addition, diversifying exports to other countries and increasing the competitiveness of domestic industry are strategic steps to reduce dependence on the American market. These import tariffs is not just an economic policy, but a reflection of the dynamics of global trade that continues to change. Indonesia must respond carefully to remain competitive and not lose momentum in international trade. Meanwhile, the Presidential Communication Office, as quoted from MediaIndonesia.com, stated that President Prabowo Subianto has prepared a number of strategic steps to face various global economic challenges, including the new import tariff policy from the United States. The most significant step is to expand the international trade network. Since the beginning of his term, President Prabowo Subianto has pushed for various bilateral and multilateral trade agreements, such as the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership involving ASEAN countries, or the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, Australia, China, Japan, South Korea, and New Zealand. In addition, Indonesia has also applied for membership in the BRICS Economic Group, which consists of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, which covers more than 40% of global trade. The government is also active in the process of accession to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD. Another step is to accelerate the process of downstreaming natural resources in order to increase added value and create national economic resilience. It is hoped that the programs prepared by President Prabowo will be able to prove that Indonesia can continue to grow even in the midst of a global situation which is full of uncertainty. That was commentary.
Here is quote of the day. Patience has no limits. If there is a limit, it means you have no patience. That's a quote by Kiai Haji Abdurrahman Wahid, or familiarly known as Gus Dur, an Indonesian Muslim figure from the Nahdlatul Ulama. He served as the fourth president of the Republic of Indonesia from 1999 to 2001. And that's quote of the day.
Banyak masalah hidupmu, ku harap dirimu tak usah mengeluh. Percaya dan yakinkan dirimu, kau bisa mengubah keluh jadi senyum. Tak ada satupun manusia yang tak pernah disinggahi masalah. Mungkin inilah cara yang kuasa untuk jadikanmu lebih dari dewasa. Senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu, tunjukkan pada dunia bahwa kau mampu. Masih banyak yang hidupnya, senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu. Tak ada satupun manusia yang tak pernah disinggahi masalah. Mungkin inilah cara jadikanmu lebih dari dewasa. Senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu, tunjukkan pada dunia bahwa kau mampu. Masih banyak yang lebih susah hidupnya. Senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu. Masa sulitmu, ceritakan kembali pada dunia caramu mengubah keluarga.
Voice of Indonesia.
Famous Komodo National Park is located in East Nusa Tenggara Province. In 1986, the park was designated as a World Heritage Site and a Man and Biosphere Reserve by UNESCO. Since then, the region has become more popular and more visited by local and international tourists. Besides the rare Komodo dragons, this region also has the natural beauty of underwater sea view, which is very intriguing. The national park area itself includes three major islands, namely Komodo, Rinca, and Padar, covering an area of 2,321 square kilometers. There are approximately 2,500 Komodo dragons living in the wild here. Besides Komodo dragons, there are also other wild animals, such as buffalo, deer, wild boar, and monkeys. Exploring the Komodo National Park is very exciting and challenging because you can watch how the prehistoric animals live. For safety reasons, visitors must be guided by experienced rangers. It is quite a tiring journey, yet all fatigues will be relieved when you reach the summits of the hills on Komodo Island. At this altitude, you can look down at the blue sea and the group of islands, which are really spectacular. In addition to trekking, visitors can enjoy the beauty under the sea in an area called Pink Beach. Muhammad Soleh, a forest ranger in the region, said,
"Sejak dulu, itu setiap tamu yang datang berkunjung.
Every visitor who comes to Komodo Island after trekking it will surely swim in the Pink Beach, which is located on the side of the road. When heading for the island or returning to Labuan Bajo, you have to pass it.
Pasti dia melewati, walaupun dia pulang ke Labuan Bajo, pasti melewati dia."
The Pink Beach, which is actually made of fine pinkish sand, is a portrait of beauty in the Komodo National Park. Muhammad Soleh describes the underwater marine life below.
Nah, yang ada di sana itu dominan itu soft coral.
Now there is predominantly soft corals or acropora down there. There are also several species of fish, reef fish, and if you go deeper, you will find some larger fish species.
Kalau kita ke dalam lagi tadi, kita akan menemukan beberapa jenis ikan yang agak lebih besar.
As said before, the beach, which is located on one side of the island of Komodo, has pink sand.
Pink beach itu warna dasarnya itu putih.
The sand on the Pink Beach is basically white, but then there are some red coral rubble which is very fine, caused by the waves.
Sehingga itu sangat-sangat halus sekali karena pengaruh hempasan gelombang.
Regarding the natural beauty in this Komodo National Park, Aryadi Ali Usman, a visitor from Palembang in South Sumatra, says,
"Kita ke NTT, ke Pulau Komodo.
We are visiting the island to see Komodo dragons, which are really awesome. Previously, I only saw their picture or on TV, but now I can see how extraordinary these dragons are. After that, we traveled to Pink Beach. We saw how incredible it was. It was like a dream to see the wonderful Pink Beach. I could see the beautiful coral reef and fish there. The fish from small to big are so pretty and abundant."
Luar biasa indah dan ikan-ikannya bermacam-macam dari yang kecil sampai yang besar.
That was a glimpse of Komodo National Park in East Nusa Tenggara.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Ramadan telah usai, saatnya kita kembali ke Fitri. Di hari yang suci ini, mari saling memaafkan. Selamat Idul Fitri, mohon maaf lahir dan batin. Salam hangat dari kami, Des Bahasa Indonesia.
I am from English Division of the Voice of Indonesia, the World Service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Happy Eid al-Fitr 2025. Hopefully, may Allah give us much goodness and His blessings for good.
Hello, Voice of Nation no Nihongo kakara, Eid al-Fitr omedetou gozaimasu. Konosai naruhi ni, tagai wo yoroshiau.
We are Cindy Deutsch, the redaction from Voice of Indonesia. We are wishing all Muslims aus aller Welt schöne islamische Feiertage Eid al-Fitr 1456 Hirzi.
Bessere Muslime zu werden ist das Hauptziel.
Bessere Zukunft für alle zu verwirklichen und den Weltfrieden zu stiften sind die Ziele, um die wir sich bemühen müssen.
Coucou, chers amis, je suis Audrey.
Je suis Messaro.
Nous sommes de l'équipe de service français de la Voix de l'Indonésie. Nous souhaitons joyeux Eid Mubarak.
Hallo, ik ben Irene Diani van de Nederlandse talige uitzending van Voice of Indonesia. Ik wens u een prettige suikerfeest. Eid is een tijd voor vergeving, dankbaarheid en vreugde. Eid Mubarak, prettige suikerfeest.
A nuestros hermanos musulmanes, queremos desear un feliz Eid al-Fitr. Que tenga Fiesta bendita.
尊贵的斋月已经结束了，元安啦。携手人们的善功 ，Voice of Indonesia 华语部和我，祝你和家人平平安安，开斋节快乐。Min
fariki Voice of Indonesia, South Indonesia, ajmalu wa aharu tahani bi munasabah Idul Fitri al Mubarak. Kulo amin wa antum bi alf khair.
Voice of Indonesia wishing you love, peace, and happiness.
Happy Eid Mubarak!
Thank you for still joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Coming up next, a program that will take you closer to Indonesian art, culture, custom, food, tourist destinations, all on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, April 20th, the city government of Depok, West Java, and the people of Depok held the Lebaran Kukusan tradition. It is called Lebaran Kukusan because the Eid tradition is carried out in Kukusan Village, Beji Sub-District, Depok City. It is different from the Eid tradition in various regions, which is held on Eid Syawal. Lebaran Kukusan in Depok was held on 10th Syawal 1445 Hijriah. According to the mayor of Depok, who is often called Kiai Idris, Eid Kukusan is a tradition that elevates the culture of the past. Apart from that, Lebaran Kukusan is an effort to maintain simple traditions in ancient society, one of which is the tradition of eating together. Listener, the Lebaran Kukusan activities were created from ideas from community leaders, RT and RW heads, youths, and Depok residents. This Eid activity was held as an effort to reminisce about the Eid atmosphere in the past, particularly among the Betawi people. Lebaran Kukusan was created by exchanging food, which was preceded by a chain parade. Nostalgia is getting thicker with the costumes worn by the participants. The male participants wore traditional Betawi clothing, namely pangsi. Meanwhile, the women wore kebaya while carrying baskets containing rice and side dishes to eat together. The rantang tradition is a tradition of the Betawi people during Eid, in which the Betawi people will go around to the homes of family and relatives carrying basket containers filled with various specially prepared foods such as dodol, tape uli, rengginang, and rendangan. Music. Listener, on Lebaran Kukusan this year, Kukusan residents held a parade carrying baskets filled with food. Then the food is eaten together with other residents. Residents also brought pile of ketupat-like mountains and held fashion show. Apart from that, residents also held hamper making competitions, Volume 2 ketupat weaving competitions. Eid Kukusan becomes even more lively when the coin and candy sale started. There were also art performances held to enliven the event, as well as bazaar involving Kukusan, micro, small, and medium enterprises. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with our another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Homecoming during Eid is not only about coming home to your family. According to Debbie Afianti, lecturer at Muhammadiyah University of Jakarta, for Gen Z, it's also about finding the potential and building their hometown.
I think some of the Gen Z's are also interested in building the or creating some community development projects after their parents bring them to their hometown, because they see some of the people in their hometowns need some improvement, maybe in some techniques of agriculture or maybe in making some small enterprise, especially if the young people who are really, really right now not really interested in being employees. They want to start their own lot of jobs for others. They're really keen in opening up some businesses in the villages, and especially if they see some unique products or maybe some potential commodities to be developed in their hometown. I think parents should put in some seeds of interest to the children, so they will remember about how their potential can grow up and also can be shared to others in the village.
Ini dipakai buat berjudi sehari. Semalam main ceki mabuk prendi, pulang sempoyongan kalah main pukul istri. Akibatnya sang ketupat melayang ke mata si penjudi, matang biru dirangsang si istri. Maafkan lahir dan batin, lain tahun hidup prihatin. Kondangan boleh kurangin, korupsi jangan kerjain.
Thank you for still joining us, the English service of Voice of Indonesia that you can enjoy on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. Listener, next we present a program that allows you to learn Indonesian language. It's only on Let's Speak Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello everyone, my name is Ray, and today we're going to learn about the Indonesian alphabet. Let's begin. A. 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 Which can be used for ayam, anak, and alam. Let's continue. B, 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 which can be used for bak, batik, and Bali. That's it for now, and see you in another episode.
Satu sisi dalam diri, warna-warni penuhi jiwaku. Meski kadang hati ini pun bertanya, apa mungkin benar ini nyata? Kau hadir di balik kokohnya tembok.
That is the sound of the king of the fruits, durian. People say durian is not for everyone, but stay with me to find out why durian is actually for everyone. Hello everyone, right now I am in Alas Malang Central Java, the central farm for durian bower, the special durian from Alas Malang Central Java. Durian is a spiky fruit, famous for having a strong scent. Durian is native to Southeast Asia, so it has a lot of cousins. You might be familiar with blackthorn, musangking, and montong. And in Indonesia, we have petruk, medan, bawor, kaligesing, and menibor. Whatever the variation, people's top of mind about durian is of course the scent and the taste. But there is one Mr. Sarno, a durian farmer from Alas Malang Central Java, who has a different opinion.
Dan durian ini salah satu makanan yang bisa dinikmati oleh panca indera kita semua.
Durian can be experienced with all of our senses. Our eyes can see the color and size. When we are about to eat it, our nose smells it. Maybe normal, strong, or sweet scented. It means our sight and smell work well. We feel the spike with our skin. We might even bleed. Then we put it into our mouth. Wow, this one is sweet, or that one is bland. And what about hearing? A ripe durian sounds lower when we strike it. Unripe one has a higher sound. Or we hear it fell in our backyard. It beans our ears, also enjoy it.
Kalau yang belum matang, belum ngebas. Atau kita punya tanaman di belakang rumah, jatuh. Kita sambil terdengar, berarti telinga kita menikmati.
But from all the senses, which one should we use to pick the best durian?
Ini durian udah matang belum ya? Lah kalau dipukul
dalam suara kita. Is this durian ripe? We test by striking it. We know there is baritone, tenor, and bass, high, medium, and low. The ripe one is bass. Tapi kalau suaranya so we strike it.
Dipukul.
It's ripe. Another durian seller, Mrs. Ngatina, says. We also use our nose, our eyes, and our skin.
Wangi.
A good durian smells good.
Bagus, wangi. Iya. Pokok Bapak kalau beli di mana-mana,
never buy durian with dry stem.
Ini kalau kering jangan dibeli.
So now we get a ripe durian. Our next mission is to retrieve the durian flesh protected by thick and spiky peel. While some people struggle to open it, Mr. Sardo just takes his razor-sharp blade and then decides on a straight line on the peel to easily cut it open.
Kita ambil tengah-tengahnya ini
just
jalurnya.
Pick a straight line like
kita
this.
Lepas ini. Baru
then
pelan-pelan
we slowly
duanya
can see the flash. Here itu, it is. Beneath the green, thick, and thorny peel is the shiny golden flesh of durian, the size of an adult's fist. A perfect presentation. But here is the $1 million question. How does it taste?
Sambil
bon
ya,
appetit.
Ya.
Nah. Amazing. This durian just ripened, so it's not bitter. Given more time, it will be a bit bitter, but has a softer texture, like sticky rice. Good durians are commonly soft like custard that melts in your mouth, and sweet like wine. The bad ones are simply bland, no taste at all. But some people prefer the more exotic mixes in the palate, like sweet, bitter, and sour at the same time. And trust me, the smell is not like socks. So now you find out, apparently durian is not smelly and doesn't taste weird. It has an attractive color and also a lot of benefits for your body. Which means, actually, durian is for everyone. If you want to find durian, you can go to Central Java and they have a special variant over there called Durian Bawor. Or in Purworejo, they have the durian kaligesing. That's all for now. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a song by Naura Ayu. Adila Rafa Naura Ayu, better known as Naura Ayu, is an Indonesian talented young singer and actress. Naura Ayu released her latest single on June 27, 2024. The song entitled Ternyata, or Actually, is the original soundtrack for the series My Nerd Girl 3 that she stars. The song created by Aldi Nada Pramana is packed in a fun, dancey, girly feel which suits the character of Naura's voice, which is sweet and ear-catching. Through the song, Naura wants to convey that we shouldn't be too unwilling to be with friends or people we feel comfortable with, because it could turn out that that person is the most special person for us. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song by Naura Ayu, Ternyata. Happy listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kenangan pertama walau ku berjumpa, kenangan pertama awal aku berjumpa. Seolah-olah hanya impian yang berlalu. Sungguh tak kusangka dan rasa tak percaya.
Sungguh karena dia, aku dengan pertama awal aku berjumpa. Hey! Pandangan pertama awal aku berjumpa.